You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date's Friday, November 1st, 2024. Grandpa Dan streaming with you, RadioAlbion.com. Wrapping up the work week and starting off a brand new month. Year is going to be here, going to be over before you know it. Now, hopefully some of you noticed, I did not have a Daily Nationalist show up on Monday. I apologize for that. Man, I got stuff going on you just wouldn't believe. They're scrapping around trying to make all of it work. It couldn't be done. I try my best. But sometimes I just, you know, gotta do what I gotta do. But I do appreciate it. And before we get started, I had a listener email me yesterday asking about Sven, and it reminded me. I emailed them back and updated them, but it reminded me I haven't done a public update on Sven in a minute. And I'm sure some of you are wondering. I apologize. I've been kind of remiss in that. But there isn't one of the reasons for that, in my own defense, as it were, is there's not a whole lot to update. He continues to be in halfway house facilities, out of prison. Now, he started off with a lot of restrictions, very, you know, in a way, the initial restrictions were more severe than when he was actually in prison. Unsurprising to virtually all of you, I'm sure, is that he's been a model prisoner. He's doing what he's supposed to do, following the rules. And they're slowly, gradually being lifted as we speak. Now, I can't share the public information like his contact or how you can contact him. They don't want that information made public for a number of reasons. It's not hard. It's reasonable and it's easy to understand. You know, they've got various people at the halfway house. They can't have troublemakers showing up and so on and so forth. I mean, we're going to do everything we can to honor what they're wanting done. At some point, hopefully in the near future, he will leave the halfway house facility, but he will remain on what we in the U.S. would call on parole. In the U.K., they call it being out on a license. You got a license to be out there for that bloke. You're out on license, and he'll be out on license for roughly probably another year or so. I think it's December next year, somewhere around there is how long his parole will last. And obviously he'll have restrictions there. I don't have any reason to expect he's going to be podcasting obviously anytime soon because of that. You know, you gotta watch your P's and Q's, obviously. But this is still good news. He is getting more and more freedom. He is slowly working him out and into society as a whole. So good news. And I will say this. I had a listener on my Parish of the Patriots show, you know, make the comment that they didn't even understand how, you know, what he was locked up for. And I agree with that. Me personally, my personal opinion, it's just kind of like, you know, it's just crazy, but it is what it is. But I will say this, credit where due. You know, as foreign to some of us as this system of this idea of these speech crimes is, I will say this. They're doing their best. You know, the people he's working with in the government, you know, that oversee this, I mean, they're actually doing their jobs. You know, they're trying to make sure they're not just, in other words, when it's time for him to get out, they're just going to kick him out on the streets. You know, they're trying to work with him to make sure he has somewhere to go and as a way, you know, to actually see about his health care needs and so on and so forth. We're here in the U.S., they just kick you out on the street and say good luck. They maybe give you $50 or something for and a bus ticket. So they are working with him, and we all know Sven, and he's, you know, a reasonable person and doing, you know, what he needs to do, and so it's good news. All in all, it is good news. I myself am in regular contact with him as an individual. Again, we're not broadcasting the information. I know many of you wish you could contact him. you know, bear with us. It is what it is. But I personally do have his contact. I'm in contact with him, and he is doing well. Spirits are high. He's found things to be interested in, to stay interested in. And we're just, you know, we knew when this started, this was a long slog. And both Dr. Johnson, myself, as well as all of y'all listening, we've been in this for the long haul. You know, we knew this was going to be a thing that took years to get worked out. And we're going to continue on with that. And a part of that is we continue keeping Radio Albion hobbling along in his absence. So he is doing well. I did want to give that update. I haven't, like I said, I haven't done that in a while. I heard from somebody asking about it, and I realized, man, I haven't, you know, yeah, I need to update, bring everybody up to speed on how Sven's doing. On that note, we're going to wrap today's show. No, we're not wrapping today's show. We've got lots to talk about. I'm not bringing a news article today. I didn't feel like it. It's going to be one of those kind of just general topic, mostly kind of sort of a wrapping up of some of the news stuff that's been in the news, stuff in the news this week. I find that easier for me personally, just my style of doing this. It's easier for me. Than sitting here just trudging through an article, though I'd realize that's kind of the standard Daily Nationalist format. But we're just going to do some general talk. Of course, the big news here in the U.S. is the final week, sort of this stupid election. I'm so ready for it to be over. Political ads. I'm getting spam calls. I got a spam call the other day for Ted Cruz. Please stop. Please just stop. Ready for it to be over. This ridiculous thing. And it won't be over. You know, back in the day on election day, you got up the next day. They voted on Tuesday. And you got up on Wednesday morning, you know who won. Because back then we went down there and you filled out a paper ballot and you put it in there. People had to take them out and count them. And yet the next day we knew who won. Now, they have all of this technology. They got voting machines. They've got all of this stuff. And sometimes we don't know for weeks. They'll drag it out. We're going the wrong direction in our democracy values of who we are. Where's the efficiency? Which just isn't there. We have to wait to see who's going to be selected, who's going to be picked. Of course, it's ridiculous, this whole Kamala thing. I mean, what a most ridiculous candidate. She couldn't pull 1% in the Democrat primaries. And they're telling us it's neck and neck in the polls. Neck and neck. It's like a horse race. It's not exciting. Everybody wants the sports ball game to be close. Nobody likes to see a blowout. They want to see a neck and neck. They want to be down to the finish. See who wins by a nose. It's like running a plow horse against a thoroughbred. Ain't nobody going to actually hardly vote for Kamala. I mean, some people will, obviously. But to pretend like this is close is just more absurdity. And the media wonders why they have no credibility. Yeah, I saw a story this week about how, you know, they did a survey and like the media actually, and this isn't news. This was presented as new news. I remember reading the same story 30 years ago. But the media actually polls lower in trustworthiness than the Congress. And that's saying something. But it doesn't deter them. They believe they are so important. I don't know why they think they're important. All they do at this point, or journalists do at this point, is just republish government press releases. They just reword it a little bit and put it out there and act like they wrote a story. Maybe add some Twitter screenshots to the story to add some legitimacy. You always hear this talk about AI being able to replace people. You know, you're going to lose your job to artificial intelligence. That's silly to a certain extent. If your job is being a plumber, AI is not going to replace. AI ain't going to crawl up under somebody's wet, soggy, scorpion-infested house and fix their plumbing. You're still going to be crawling under there doing that. AI ain't going to be fixing your car. AI ain't going to be doing none of that stuff. But people have made up jobs. Remember that meme? There was a meme sometime back, and it was like, you know, real jobs, bullshit jobs, you know? Like, if you can't see, it was something like, I don't have it in front of me. I'll have to look around and see if I still have it somewhere. If I do, I'll put it up on the show. But it was something like, if you can't say your job title in like three words or less, you know, it's a bullshit job. You know, and it's like, oh, I'm the director of personnel. Bullshit job. Fish. I catch fish. You know, fisherman. That's a real job. Journalists have a made up bullshit job. They sit around and just republish government press releases and pretend they're doing something. People are worried about AI replacing their jobs. It's because you have a bullshit job. If you have a real job, if you get on a boat and catch fish for a living, you ain't worried about AI replacing your job, are you? If you fix cars, if you're working on an oil rig, do you think the oil rig workers out in West Texas are worried about, oh my gosh, AI is going to take my job from me? No, they're not worried about that. Truck drivers, they're not worried about AI replacing their job. No, you know who's worried about AI replacing their job? People with bullshit jobs. People with made up bullshit jobs. Everyone's worried. They're the ones worried about their jobs being replaced by artificial intelligence because they don't have a real job. And at the end of the day, they know they ain't got no real job. They know they're getting paid. Sit there. You know, people on TV reading the news. My gosh, you look at these late night comedians. Life would be better if Stephen Colbert was replaced by artificial intelligence. Hell, maybe the jokes would be funny. BS jobs. Those are the jobs that they're worried about being replaced by artificial intelligence. I'm looking forward to them being replaced by artificial intelligence. Anyway, they're going to have the election Tuesday. Who knows how long it'll take. They've come up with these BS polls to tell us it's a neck and neck race when it shouldn't be. The only question anybody has is how much fraud there's going to be. You know, how much trickery. I mean, I don't care. I care in the sense that I'm interested. I care as far as observing this in the context of the collapse of the American empire and just society imploding on itself as a whole. I find that interesting. I find that aspect of it to be somewhat interesting. But as far as like the world is going to change, like the government is going to go in a different direction. If Donald Trump gets in there, he's going to make America great again. He's going to cut the bureaucracy. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. I don't have any illusions of that. Come on. And it's an amazing thing to me to like, they hype this stuff up so much. They hype it up. So whichever side loses is inevitably going to have a hard time accepting that. They used to not do this back in the day. You had these elections, and when one side lost, they just lost. And they told their people, well, we lost. And everybody went back to what they were doing. You know, I think back in elections in the 80s and 90s, they had these elections. The next day we knew who won, and one side conceded, the other side declared victory. Everybody wished each other well, and they went back to business as usual, which wasn't always great. But at least everybody kind of sort of thought the elections were real. Now, one side or the other is not going to accept it. Now, obviously, if they put Kamala in there, that's just going to be so ridiculous. There'll be a reason for the Trump supporters to say, well, this is just a bunch of BS and fraud. But on the flip side of that, if Trump wins, they've been sitting there telling their core supporters that he's Hitler. The whole thing, they've recycled all the old narratives. They're out of new material. He's Hitler, he's all of these evil things, he's going to destroy the democracy values of who we are, Russian meddling in the election, all of it. And then what? If he does, quote unquote, win, then these same people need to turn around and tell their supporters, well, we know we told you he was Hitler, but that's how our democracy works. You're going to have all of these people not accept this. It's ridiculous. It's much more healthy to see it for the Kabuki theater that it is, you know, to see the whole democracy thing as the Potemkin village that it is. to look behind the scene, to pull back the curtain and see that it's all show. This is a much more healthy thing. You don't get so worked up, so excited about this stuff. Of course, one of you see him reaching for all these different issues throughout there. These are part of the distraction, so nobody notices that regardless of what party is allegedly in control of the government, nothing actually changes. On Team D side, on the Team Democrat side, they're a little more desperate. You know, the Trump side, it's a personality cult. Trump could come out there today and say, once I'm in office, I'm going to issue a decree that every firstborn in the country has to be killed as some sort of weird sacrifice to me or something. And these people would, by and large, still support him. It's a personality cult. Team D, so he's got his base. The way it used to work in more sane times is each party had their base locked in. And then you had the undecided, the moderates. And this is what they all fought over. It's not that way anymore because of a different number of reasons. The polarizing of the politics and just, you know, the blatant fraud in your face and just the part of the general collapse of the system in general. But the Democrats, on the other hand, they don't have their base locked in. This is something, of course, the media is not talking about. They're having a problem with their base because their core base of supporters has a real problem. And this is something I agree with them on, by the way. There's another thing of not getting locked into personality cults or you know, this partisan, silly partisan politics, as it were. You know, their core support for the Democrats, their core, so their base, as it were, has a real problem with Israel's genociding of the Palestinians. And Harris can keep going out there making speeches all day long, pretending Donald Trump's been in charge for the last 4 years, but that isn't flying. They have a real problem with their base because their base has a real problem with their unyielding support for Israel. Now, yeah, obviously Donald Trump is also ironclad support for Israel. In a normal, for normal thinking people, this brings up the question of why that is, but nonetheless, I digress. The Democrats' base support, and again, I agree with this, they have a real problem with this U.S. support for what Israel is doing. So the Democrats, to try to at least be in the race on some level or another, are trying to whip up these other issues. That's why you see Russian meddling. That's why you see Trump is Hitler again, and lots of abortion ads, lots of abortion. All of this, what you see, these are all efforts to change the conversation from the U.S. government's support for Israel. Again, the Biden administration has been in there for 4 years, not Donald Trump. They're trying to change the conversation because their base has a real problem. Their base has a real problem with this unyielding support for Israel. So they're trying to change the topic. And one of the things they're trying to change topic is abortion. Because I turn on the local news in the morning so I can see the weather, and I keep it on mute, but you can't. You look up to see what's on the TV, and it's there are lots of political ads. And for the Team D, it's all about abortion. So, and the way they do it is awful. It is. They have these people. They've been to a lot of these ads. They feature these women on here, you know, and they're the most unrelated. It's like, you want somebody to put your message out there. And so you go to, I'm trying not to use vulgar language. You go to the most insufferable woman from human resources that everybody in the company hates. And you put her on your TV commercial. That's who's there. Karen from HR. Speaking with, you know, through her teeth. That nobody can stand. And that's who they put out there for their ads. It's about the abortion. I find abortion to be a strange issue. For the simple fact, I find it strange that there is this segment of population that is so obsessed with the idea of infanticide, of killing babies, this need to dress it up and call it all of these other things. The fact that there is a segment of the population that it is a core important issue to them to be able to kill children. I find that, you know, that people don't stop and self-reflect a little bit about that. You know, stop and reflect and say, wow, you know, because like if it's a core issue to me to be able to murder children, I would be like, you know, there's a problem here. You know, there's something going on. What is this about? But no, this is the normal. Normal thing in society. What else going on? Oh, they're promoting this idea. They're going on with this whole North Korean troops in Russia. North Korean troops are in Russia. They presented, I get tongue-tied a little bit. And then my voice does that little speak. I hate that when I do that. If I wasn't lazy, I would go back in and cut that out, edit it out. But I don't feel like it. So you just get it and it's raw. You just get the show raw as it can be. It's raw as a piece of meat straight from the butcher shop. They bring in this story about these North Korean troops. This is another silly, just silly story. North Korean troops in Russia. Why, they could be sending close to 8,000 troops. That is nothing. I mean, really, with the length of the lines, with the Russian-Ukraine conflict, 8,000 troops is like literally nothing. They've produced zero evidence that this is even happening. And if it is, it's irrelevant. You've got all these NATO troops there. They technically take them off of the roles of being in the U.S. Army and put them on the roles of being a private military contractor and say they're mercenaries, they're volunteers, they're whatever. I would be willing to bet most of these mercenaries that are there that just so happen to be former military in all these NATO countries, from Poland to the U.S. to the U.K., so on and so forth. I would be willing to bet that if you had the ability, these private military contractors, if you shuffled around, they're all government funded. I guarantee if you had a way to follow that money trail, it's a front. It's a shell company, as it were. But you've got all these thousands of NATO troops in there fighting for the Ukraine. Then they come up with this story, again, producing zero evidence, that the North Koreans have the nerve to send 8,000 troops to help Russia. And this is a major escalation. I saw this morning where Anthony Blinken was saying, this just shows how desperate Russia is. Talk about projection. They're so desperate. Yes, they're desperately winning. They need another 8,000 North Korean troops. Again, it's irrelevant. If North Korea sends troops, so be it. I mean, it's what's good for the goose is good for the gander, right? If they were, I seriously question that, because the logistical problems of it. You're bringing 8,000 people that speak an entirely different language in, and you're somehow going to integrate them into the battle lines. That doesn't make any sense. If it's happening, it's going to happen on a very limited basis, just to give those troops some battle experience that they can go back to North Korea and incorporate that into their training regimen. That's the only way that makes sense. And the way that makes sense is it's going to be limited engagements. They'll let them go in and fight a little bit to get some experience, but then they're going to go back to North Korea. 8,000 troops are not going to make a difference in this sort of thing. It's just more nonsensical gibberish, just nonsensical. Who cares? But we're supposed to care. We're supposed to care about this very, very much. Let's keep the random topics rolling, because one thing I specialize in, I do my best, I shine, it's my moment to shine when I'm just doing random topics. That's why I struggle. If I have a news article, I got to go through it. Struggle with that. Random topics, I can do random topics all day long. Unscripted random topics. I'm still glad I didn't take the vax. How about y'all? There are people who took the vax that will tell you they regret it. A lot of them won't admit it. But what you will not find is people that did not take the vaccine that are like, man, I wish I had gone and taken my booster. You're not going to find that. It comes to mind because the other day I was driving through town and I pull up to a light. I kid you not, they exist in the wild still. I pull up to a traffic light, sitting there waiting for the dumb light change. And I look over in this car. And there's this person, and they have the look. For starters, I could not tell for sure whether or not they were male or female. But that's kind of not necessarily even out of the ordinary in America today. Second thing, you know, undefinable random scribble tattoos on their arm, which was hanging out the window because they had their window down. But the thing that struck me is they were by themselves with the window down, with their ugly scribble tattoos on their arm, unable to tell if they're male or female, with the windows down by themselves in their car. And yes, my friends, they were wearing the mask. They exist. They're still wearing the mask. They're waiting for them to come back. It's like people that wear fashion that's out of style, but they won't give it up. They're waiting for them to come back, you know? Like everybody wearing skinny jeans and they're still rocking the bell bottoms because they're coming back and I'm going to be at the forefront. These are the people that are waiting. They want masks to come back. They're just waiting. They enjoyed it. Why else would you do it if you didn't enjoy it? They enjoyed the mask mandates and the control and virtue signaling that I am wearing my mask, which tells you that I am a good person. In other words, we used to call these people the insane. But now, they're still out there. They're still wearing their masks. They're just waiting for them to come back. Now, I seen somebody wearing a mullet the other day, and I had more admiration for that. That takes guts. That takes cojones to be rocking the mullet in 2024. Guy had a cap on. It was clear he had the mullet. I like the French version. You know, the American version, you call it the mullet. But I like the French with the moulet. It sounds so much more classy. Yeah, all business up top or a party in the back. However they used to say, you know, he's rocking the moulet. He's waiting for that to come back. I can admire that. I can admire a man that's got the guts to wear a mullet waiting for that to come back. But the mask. Not so much. What else going on? I saw another video the other day. I just use videos of police acting insane. Again, this is one of the things that's just really liberating about not locking yourself into one side, you know, this conservative normie side or the shit liberal side. When you can stand back and just see things for what they are. I find it liberating. It can be blackpilling to a certain extent because so many people don't do that. But yeah, take a breath of fresh air and say it's so good to be able to look at things for what they are. The police being insane is one of those is one of those things. You see them not using any, you see these videos where they're not using common sense, you know, and they say, well, technically what he was doing was right, but yet people see it and they're off put by it because they put themselves in there and say, yes, but common sense tells you you shouldn't be escalating this like this. I see a lot of these videos from time to time with police acting over the top, you know, being absurd, you know, throwing people down on the ground for minor offenses. They show up and immediately start screaming at people. I've been very fortunate and blessed. I haven't had to deal with that. You know, but it's, you just never know if you have an interaction with these people. Thankfully, I have very few of them. And I've been fortunate that I haven't had one of these unfortunate incidents. But they're out there. And they all look the same, by the way. Anyway, you have these incidents where these police are just acting like lunatics. And of course, like I say, the normie conservative Republican type has to support the police no matter how absurd they act. They try to make up excuses, you know? You see the cops, like, in a situation where they could have easily, in the old days, they would have talked somebody down or taken their baton out and whacked the shit out of them, put the handcuffs on them, and hauled them on in, and it would have been a non-incident. They see now the cop whips out their pistol and mag dumps on somebody over what started off as a minor incident. And the normie conservative Republican type has to somehow defend that. The officer feared for his life, which is bullshit. Or if it's not bullshit, he's in the wrong line of work. If you're that scared, you're in the wrong line of work. On the flip side of that, the core Democrat, Team D, shitlib supporter, they want to do this blanket condemnation of anybody in law enforcement. They're all pigs. They're vile. And we don't even need the police or some other silly nonsense. No common sense. What really strikes me when I see this, though, and I observe, because it's not just observing police exercising no common sense, escalating situations over the top in their behavior. One of the things I find interesting is observing people's reactions to it. And for the vast majority of the people, you know where their politics is by the way they react. Again, no matter how absurd the police act, the normicon will sit there and try to find some sort of excuse for it. And on the flip side, you have this blanket, like, we don't need police at all. From shit, like, every single cop out there is an asshole. Well, again, I have very limited, thankfully, because I'm an upstanding citizen, with the police. And so I haven't had one of these unfortunate incidents, and the ones I've dealt with, for by and large, have been more or less kind of reasonable. I did one time have one act all over the top. Just because I didn't pull over fast enough. That was years ago. I didn't pull over fast enough because I actually was courteous enough to pull off the road and into a parking lot because it was a super busy highway with a ton of traffic. And I'm thinking, this idiot's going to get run over walking up to my door. So I pull off the road into a parking lot. He comes jumping out all freaked out because I didn't pull over quick enough. He thought I was going to run in this hoopty POS of a car I was driving at the time. But overall, my experience has been one, you know, of dealing with people reasonably. What gets me is whenever I see this and I watch people's reaction to it, is people act like this has always been a problem. And it's not. I was telling somebody recently, this all started. I have years of looking back on this. This is why, you know, people that are older should share their experiences and people who are younger should listen. Especially when the experiences are not, you know, are being given in good faith, not berating you and saying, you know, you should pull yourself up by the bootstraps and work hard like I did, you know, while completely ignoring how different things are as far as economic. But I don't want to get off on that. That's not today's topic. I'm staying on topic. I've got experience and I can tell you this shit really accelerated. This BS really started after 9/11. It did. It started after 9/11. Back in my day, back in the 80s or even the 90s, these cops weren't all covered in 18 layers of body armor. Hut-hutting. Look for the excuse to hut-hut. Well, these cops, they look like they're just looking for excuse to shoot somebody when you watch these videos. And what amazes me, because people will act like, you know, oh, we've got to find some new solution. No, we don't. We just got to go back to the way they used to do it. Where they train them to de-escalate situations. Use some common sense. Don't make a mountain out of a molehill. Now they're looking for an excuse. They got that pistol. They stop you for a traffic violation. They walking around with their hand on their gun like they're ready to quick draw McGraw on you. They just need an excuse. They look different. Back in the day, you weren't allowed to have facial hair if you were going to be a cop. You had to shave all that shit off. Visible tattoos don't even apply. And now you see all these guys. One of the things that strikes me about them, because I said earlier, I said in passing earlier, they all look the same. They fit the profile. You know, you hear about police profiling. But you, as a normal person, if you have an interaction with the police, you can profile them. You get an idea. One of the things that's kind of a common denominator whenever you see one of these videos of the police acting ridiculous is one of the first things you'll notice is a common denominator is they're obviously, when these cops that do this are obviously on steroids. I mean, it's obvious. They look like, you know, when these Hollywood actors, whenever they get roided up to do some Hollywood film, you know, you see those pictures like, oh, here's so-and-so and he's playing this superhero and they show him out there and he's got like these ginormous, ridiculous, humanly impossible muscles bulging out everywhere. Then 6 months after the film's over, they see somebody snaps a picture of him at the beach and he looks like me walking around. Just normal. How does it happen? It's like magic. You see one of these cops, you know, and they've got forearms and biceps the size of my whole body. And of course, the sleeve arm tattoos down, up and down both sides. If you see that, you're already in trouble. You got to know you're going to be on your guard. Those steroid type people make them super aggressive. You know, it does. It makes them super aggressive. It's one of the side effects of it. Maybe, just maybe, if we had a functioning society, we wouldn't allow that. Maybe they should start off, maybe a good starting spot would be randomly drug testing these people. Because if they're taking steroids, how the hell are they going to go around arresting people for taking illegal drugs when they themselves are taking illegal drugs? Steroids make them super aggressive. No, after 9/11, though, after 9/11, all of that really took off. You know, all of the whole, now they have helmets. They show up with helmets and body armor and hut. They didn't do all that before. They act like that's just how it's always been. It ain't how it's always been. Back in the day, if they had to serve a warrant, they came out to your house and said, "We're serving a warrant." If you didn't open the door, they'd kick that sucker in. You know, yeah, they'd had their pistols drawn and whatnot. Now, they're going to show up with a tank. They do. They're going to show up with a tank and their army. You think the army is invading you. You cops playing soldier. One thing that really struck me about this after 9/11 and watching this, it was several years after 9/11. It was probably about 10 years ago. And I was driving through a little small, one stoplight podunk town. And I drove past their police department. And they had a tank sitting outside of there. Well, not a tank, but it looks like a tank. It's like an armored personnel carrier. You know, you've seen them. You know what I'm talking about? One of these SWAT vehicles that looks like a tank, you know, except it's got wheels. It's an armored personnel carrier. An old podunk town, one stoplight. What the hell they need an armored personnel carrier? What do they need a tank for? That's absurd. Ridiculous. And all that crap started after 9/11. Patriot Act, all that crap. They militarized the police. They went from training the cops to de-escalate situations, use the least amount of force necessary. They went from that to this training where, you know, exert your dominance. That way everybody listens. And these guys they purposely recruit are low IQ enough as a whole. They're low IQ enough that exert your dominance translates in their brains to yell at people. Even though I can tell you, the minute you have to start yelling at somebody, you've already lost. If you're in a confrontation with somebody and you have to start screaming, you've already lost the confrontation because you're having to resort to screaming. But these people, they tend to interpret this in their heads. As if you got to, they hear in their training, you need to be sure everybody understands you're the one in control of the situation. So they translate that as start yelling and screaming at everybody. It's all nonsensical. My point here is, if there was one, this is didn't used to be this way. This crap all came around after 9/11. One of the many negative aspects that came after 9/11, which is funny because they sold it to us that the terrorists were trying to take our freedom. Well, if that was their goal, it sure as hell worked, didn't it? Only the ones that took everybody's freedom and turned us into a police state, it wasn't the terrorists. It was the government themselves. We're going to wrap up on that note. I appreciate you joining me again. Sorry I wasn't here Monday. I'll try to be back Monday. We'll just see how things work out. But I will do my best to be back here Monday. I thank you for joining us. I hope you have a great weekend. As always, keep the faith. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, Talk Radio for the nationalist community.